Luke says in verse 6 of our reading, "And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth." Now that phrase, "the time came," is probably not one that we think much about. I mean, verse 7 goes on to say that Mary gave birth to her firstborn son, so it's pretty easy to assume that that's all that it means. But stop and ask yourself this question. What does it mean by "the time came"? Why does it say "the"? Because the word "the" implies that it's not just any old time, as if one moment was the same as another. The word "the" implies that it is a specific time, one in particular distinguished from all others. So if "the time" is referring to one specific time, what is it that ultimately sets it apart? Well, that is God. God had chosen that one particular time. So that you could even say the appointed time came, or even God's time came, and you would mean exactly the same thing. And I think when we think of it in that way, it will help us to understand so much of what we hear in Luke chapter 2. Because we think, first of all, about Mary herself. I mean, the verse literally says that the time came for her to give birth. And since we can see that this is God's time, it shows that God chose this day for her. Because God is the master of our time and through all of our lives. God determined the day that we would be born. God determined the number of our days. And God also has determined the day of our death. All things are done according to his will. As Psalm 136 says, "Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them." So Luke is telling us then in verse 6 that God had determined the day that Jesus would be born. And that's exactly what happened. God's time for Mary, the time that he had chosen for her to give birth, came. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. None of it was an accident. All of it happened according to God's will and plan. And if that's the case, then why should we fret or worry? God ultimately is the master of our time. And he has given us all of our days according to his wisdom. And God always does what is best. This shows us then that we can trust in him and not worry about tomorrow, especially since Christ our Savior has been born. But Luke also makes very clear throughout this passage that Jesus is no ordinary baby. I mean, God appoints the days of all births, yes, but this one is different. So saying that the time came for Mary to give birth is not just talking about this woman 2,000 years ago. Rather, we see that this child was born to fulfill all the promises of God. Promises that God made over centuries. Jesus' birth is the fulfillment of so much of the Old Testament. And now the time of their fulfillment had come. God promised David, for example, that a son would sit on his throne forever. He would never lack a man to rule over his kingdom. And yes, David did have sons. I mean, he had his son Solomon and his grandson Rehoboam and so forth, and they did sit on his throne. But those kings died. And so many of David's descendants did not walk in the ways of God. So God's people began to look for another son, someone who would come and sit on David's throne and reign forever. And as we heard all throughout Advent and in our readings tonight, God made so many other promises through the prophets. God made the promise through the prophet Isaiah that a virgin would conceive and bear a son. God made the promise through Micah that a ruler would come from Bethlehem. God made the promise through Hosea that God would call his son out of Egypt. And there were so many more than these. But all of these promises came to pass in Jesus. And his birth meant that God's word had not failed. Even though God's people waited for hundreds of years for some of these things to come to pass, everything happened just as he said that it would. And if God could do that, if he could keep his promises even though lifetimes had passed away, why should we fret or worry about any of God's promises now? Jesus is God's answer to every single one of his promises. And Jesus is the proof that he will keep every single one, no matter how impossible it may seem. Because of Jesus, we can trust in God to keep his word. God cannot, and he will not fail us in anything that he says. But of course, many times what we read in the Bible, at least what comes before what we read in the Bible, helps us to understand what is happening right now. The first verse that we quoted here was verse 6. So of course that should lead us to ask, well, what came in the first 5 verses of this chapter? Well, Luke tells us that Caesar Augustus, the ruler of the Roman Empire, sent out a decree that the whole world should be registered, and that this was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. Luke, after all, is very careful about his dates. But of course, we should ask, well, why did Augustus do that? Well, he was registering the world in order to determine taxes. Some things never change. But being able to send out a decree like this implies that it was a time of peace. Because if there was a war going on, he wouldn't have been able to do it. He would have to turn his attention elsewhere, or at the very least, he would be unable to carry it out in every place. And in fact, that's exactly what had happened. The Roman Empire was at peace. Even though it had been torn apart by a civil war for years, Augustus had brought that to an end. He was the first emperor over a now united empire. And Augustus issued in a time of peace and prosperity that would last even beyond his reign. This Roman Empire stretched all across Europe to the Middle East. It stretched from Spain to Israel, and from Egypt to France. All of that area, all united into one. Caesar Augustus was indeed a very powerful man, one of the very greatest who ever lived. And at his word alone, he set the entire world into motion, calling all to be registered, even causing them to go home to do it, as we see happening here with Joseph and Mary. Augustus spoke, and things happened, all according to his will. But what Caesar did not know was that all of this was according to God's will. Caesar gave his command thinking only in terms of his empire, but his command prepared the way for a far greater kingdom, and a far greater king who would rule over everything in heaven and on earth. God used Caesar's decree to cause his son to be born in Bethlehem. God used the Romans so that his son would be put to death on the cross. And God used the United Empire to quickly spread his gospel throughout the entire world so that many would come to know Jesus Christ by faith and be saved. None of that was an accident. God had put it into motion so long ago. God raised up the Romans to conquer the world. God raised up Augustus to unite them. And God used Augustus to carry out his will. All according to God's gracious plan of our salvation. Why then should we fret or worry about anything that happens? God is the master of time. God is the ruler of history. God raises up and God tears down. But God does all of these things out of love for those who love him. And everything that he does moves us that much closer to the second coming of his Son, when his kingdom will be established in all its fullness, and when Jesus will bring a peace which will never come to an end. So let us rejoice in God's time this Christmas Eve. Let us remember that his time is always best. And let us remember that he will do everything at the right time. Just as he sent his Son in the fullness of time to save us from our sins. All glory be to him alone. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, who at the right time sent your Son to save us, teach us to always trust in you, knowing that your time is always best, as you have shown us in him. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.